When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians beat the Dodgers in spring training exhibition action on Monday, 5-1. But the story here was Tristan McKenzie. Solid second outing for McKenzie. Really impressive. I mean, the question now is, do we start to have that glimmer of hope? Do we start to get excited maybe about Tristan McKenzie being able to pitch injury free this year and be in the rotation and be a solid, reliable contributor. If this is the kind of Tristan McKenzie effort that they're going to get every time out, I think you can't help but be excited about it.
Yeah, Joe, really encouraging what Tristan did yesterday. Three innings, no runs, four strikeouts, one walk. You know, he was efficient with his pitches. He had one tough at bat with Vargas in the second inning, to end the second inning, a 10-pitch at bat. And, you know, Miguel Vargas, and struck him out on the 10th pitch. So, you know, it shows you his endurance. And, you know, he was really, really, and after that, he was, you know, he cruised through the third inning. And, you know, listening to him in his post-game interview, he was really excited, really confident, and said he was pain-free. And also, you know, he had to overcome some demons, because the last time he pitched at Goodyear Ballpark and warmed up in that bullpen, that was his last start of last spring training on March 26th. And when he injured his right shoulder, and that started, you know, kind of the nightmare season for him.
Right. And, you know, to be able to overcome that mental hurdle and to go out there. And, you know, what really stands out to me, what you said about his outing yesterday, was how he breezed through an inning, or how effortless it kind of felt and kind of looked. I mean, when Tristan McKenzie is going well, that's what we see out of him, is that sort of that sort of easy effort. And you know, he just looks like he's in command and control, and throwing free and easy. That's really sort of what we saw yesterday for him. I think he's in a good place mentally right now. Obviously, afterwards, excited about the outing, excited about the possibilities. You know, you don't want to, you know, go looking too far ahead or get too far out in front. But for a guy who was so limited to four starts last year, and you know, the where he had been with the place that he had been with his elbow last year, to where he is now and how he looks, it's exciting to start thinking about the possibilities. And you really just yesterday was the first time, you know, watching his game, watching him perform, that I didn't really feel like it felt like there was a ticking time bomb waiting to go off, and you're just waiting to see him throw that one pitch and walk off the mound. It didn't feel like that. And if that's what we're going to get out of Tristan McKenzie this year, if that's what we're going to see, there are a lot of possibilities for this club.
Yes, for sure, Joe. And, you know, you got to like the way the rotation is coming together. You know, the one kind of red flag is Gavin Williams' sore right elbow that caused him to be scratched from Sunday's start. So we still have to wait and see on that. But right now you've got four solid starters in Bieber, McKenzie, Logan Allen, and Tanner Bibee. They've all looked good in spring training. Bieber's going today in his third start. So that's encouraging, and especially – you know, even in light of Williams' injury, and if he has to open the season on the IL. You know, they still have – they've built a lot of depth into that staff with guys like Carlos Carrasco and Hunter Gaddis. So guys that can step in and fill that spot in the rotation until Williams is ready to pitch again.
Well, you mentioned Carlos Carrasco. He went three innings yesterday, gave up one run, but did strike out four batters. And, you know, again, three innings out of Carlos Carrasco is encouraging to see that they're continuing to build him up. If not to take Gavin Williams' place, at least early in the rotation, then, you know, maybe they look to make him one of those stretch guys or swing guys and give him spot starts here and there. Hunter Gaddis coming in, having a clean inning, also encouraging. And Nick Sandlin looks like he's ready to go as well. A scoreless inning with two strikeouts at the end for Nick Sandlin. Now, obviously, they were doing this against the sort of Dodgers light, you know, not Dodgers really didn't bring any of their top guys to the ballpark. Kike Hernandez, Teoscar Hernandez were in the lineup. Gavin Lux was out there kicking the ball around at second base. You know, so, you know, no Shohei Ohtani, no Mookie Betts, no Freddie Freeman. But again, still to be able to go out there and do it at least early, like Carrasco and McKenzie were doing. We saw a decent performance out of Emmanuel Clase, even though he pitched himself in and out of a little bit of trouble there. All encouraging signs from the pitching side of things yesterday. It's got to be at least a step in the right direction for the staff.
For sure. And Gavin Lux had a tough day, Joe. What? He lets the pop-up fall in front of him. He makes an error and then gets called out on a pitch clock violation. So that's one of those games you file and forget as quick as you can.
Yeah. And this is a guy who, you know, ostensibly lost the starting shortstop position to Mookie Betts. Dave Roberts has said that Betts is going to be the starting shortstop. And they moved Gavin Lux over to second base, and that's where he was yesterday, and didn't get any better defensively over there for him. So maybe there's an Achilles heel for this Dodgers team. Maybe defensively they're just they're going to hit so many home runs, it's not going to matter how many errors they make. Come on, let's be realistic here. It really isn't going to matter. You and I were talking before we started recording here. Just about, you know, yesterday being or actually today being the deadline for clubs to come to contracts with their non-arbitration eligible players. Obviously, the Guardians have a ton of non-arbitration eligible players on the roster. But you were doing some digging and some Hoisey was doing some math.
That's dangerous.
And coming up with you know, just the value of the Guardians' rotation and their pitching staff compared to what other teams are paying, you know, just one or two guys who are not even going to pitch this year or are injured right now. What'd you find out about that?
Yeah, Joe. I mean, the Guardians' rotation right now with Bieber, McKenzie, Logan Allen, Tanner Bibee, and Gavin Williams combined is going to make just over $17 million, or just about $17 million total for five guys. Then you compare that to a guy
Bieber's making 13 point something of that, right? I mean, that's a large chunk right there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bieber's making 13.125 million. McKenzie's making 1.6, and the other guys are making probably just over the minimum, which is $740,000. So if you compare that to a guy like Justin Verlander, who's going to open the year on the IL, he's making $43 million this year, Joe, with the Astros. Scherzer, Max Scherzer, and Jacob DeGrom, who will both open the year on the IL for Texas. DeGrom is making $40 million a year this year. Scherzer is making $43 million this year. I mean, it blows your mind that just what – Cleveland has been able to do and put together when it comes to making a rotation.
Now, we've also talked about how the Guardians' tendencies and their history with players approaching free agency, approaching the time when they would be paid those kind of contracts, and they've earned those kind of that kind of money, in like the situation like Shane Bieber is in right now. They essentially turn into a farm team for the bigger market clubs that can pay those kind of contracts and are willing to go after and offer those kind of deals. It's you look at the three young guys in the rotation right now, and they're just starting out. They're 1 year under their belts each, and in 3-4 years we're hopefully going to be talking about these guys having made 25 to 30 starts a year, pitching upwards of 150 to 200 innings a year for the next 3 to 4 years. And you're trying to get the most out of those guys. But at some point, you got to lock one or two of these guys up, right? You've got to give one of these guys an incentive or a reason to want to stick around beyond the team control years and the arbitration years.
Yeah. Who was the last guy, the last pitcher Kluber. They signed to a multi-year deal? Kluber and Carrasco, right?
Right,
And they were able to extend Carrasco again, I think, before they traded him. But I'm not sure what's going on. Clevinger, they tried to extend Clevinger. He said no. They tried time and time again with Bauer. He said no. I think there's a trend with pitchers that are successful that they're going to go 1 year at a time and get to, take their chances in arbitration and then get to free agency, as soon as possible.
But at some point, the well is going to run dry in terms of the pitching talent that you're constantly drafting and trying to bring up these guys. And you're doing a great job of it. Your development system is great. But eventually, the law of averages says you're going to miss on maybe one or two of these guys. And you're going to have to spend money to keep a Bibee or a Williams around for an extended period of time. Otherwise, it's the cupboard is going to be bare.
Yeah. I mean, even though they've done a great job developing pitching, I mean, sometimes, you do run out of pitching, obviously, but I think they have taken the belief that this is the only way that they can compete at the big league level, is to develop their own starting pitching and get it to the big leagues as quickly as possible, get the most they can out of them, and then trade them for more talent and to keep, that system running, to keep the pitching factory going. And, that's their foothold. That's their kind of calling card.
Well, and it all goes back to the way that the free agency system is set up in Major League Baseball, and it really is to benefit the big market teams like the New Yorks, like the LAs, and teams that are willing to pay a little, from year to year, like, Texas comes out of nowhere and starts spending $500 million in an offseason. And the system right now is set up to benefit, those clubs. I look over and you and I were talking here before we started recording about how the NFL runs its, free agency and the timelines that it operates with. And, obviously in the last couple of days, we've seen a lot of money being spent by a lot of different NFL franchises. And what would it be like for Major League Baseball if, there was a specific deadline or a day when, a period when free agents were just coming off the board left and right like that? Obviously, it would be frenetic for us to sort of have to cover it. I don't envy our Browns coverage team one bit over the last 48 hours, the way that they've been working. But, should there be some sort of, and we've heard about this because guys like Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell are still out there on the board. Should there be some sort of deadline for signing, free agents, especially with spring training and the thought that you have to get into camp and get yourself in a position to be able to be ready for the start of the season? Would you be in favor of some sort of, free agency deadline? You have to have your guys signed and in camp by a certain date?
Yeah, I think that makes sense, Joe. I mean, the only thing that really causes urgency is a deadline. And, you know, right now there is no deadline in the free agent period for Major League Baseball. You can, I mean, these guys could conceivably go into the regular season unsigned. So, you know, and I don't think, you know, that makes it tough on the player, tough on the family. You know, your agent has to be really selling you a bill of goods to keep you positive. You know, it's what is it, March 12th right now, and you're not in camp, and the opposition, the guys you compete with have been in camp for what, 3, 4, 5 weeks already. So that makes it tough on the player, and you would think that you'd like to get things done, but this is the way. You know, baseball is, you know, I think they've brought this up, you know, time and time again. It always gets turned down. So this is the way they must like it. This is the way, you know, the Players Association must like it and the owners must like it.
Jordan Montgomery went 11-11 down the stretch after being traded from St. Louis to Texas, helped the Rangers definitely win the World Series, you know, put up a 4.1 WAR and, you know, 3.20 ERA and 32 starts. Blake Snell won the NL MVP. These are guys who any other year they would have been signed and in camp and, you know, pitching and ready to go by the middle of March. And here we are, March 12th, and they still don't know which team they're going to be pitching for this year. We've heard that Snell wants to play on the West Coast. If that means he's going to wind up in the Dodgers clubhouse, that's just going to be ridiculous. So we'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on all the remaining free agency and trade rumors and let you know, our listeners, via subtext, our subscription texting service. It's $3.99 a month to sign up. You can join by going to cleveland.com/subtext or by sending a text message to 216-208-4346. Hoynsey and me would love to text back and forth with you. Our subscribers are great, and we get some great stuff from them, some great feedback as we move forward. Great feedback indeed. As we talk about these deadlines, and we talk about artificial deadlines and the hope that maybe a free agency deadline is coming at some point. But for guys like Tanner Bibee and Stephen Kwan, these are guys who are the prime candidates right now in that Guardians clubhouse for some sort of an extension. Both of them signed their pre-arbitration 1-year contracts yesterday, and both of them, pretty much have to be walking around with their palms up saying, you know, what more do I have to do? Kwan's a 2-time Gold Glove left fielder. Bibee went out there and pitched his tail off and was the Rookie of the Year runner-up. He made a little bit of bonus pool money, extra money last year. I think Kwan did too, out of that that first and second year player bonus pool. But, you know, for the most part, they're pitching on league minimum contracts and hitting and defending on league minimum contracts. What does the club need to do to keep these guys in the fold? And is there any hope that they can get a deal done with somebody like a Kwan or a Bibee, before they hit arbitration, and the chances of you re-signing them or extending them go significantly down?
Yeah, I think, obviously they're going to talk to those guys, probably talk to a couple other players about extensions. They always do in spring training. You know, they signed Andrés Giménez last year. That kind of came out of the blue, that extension. They will talk to, but it takes two, Joe. It takes two to tango. And if you're a player like Kwan and you have confidence in yourself and if the extension isn't right, if you feel like, okay, I get security, but on the back end, I'm getting burned on the deal. Then you have confidence in yourself. Well, you kind of, trust in yourself and you go out there and have another good year. Then you're after 2024, you're eligible for arbitration. Then you get a really a true true read on your value, and then you go from there. So it's kind of a give and take. You really have to, you have to be, have a you, the team has to, you know, come forth and make a goodwill offer, and the player has to be willing to, you know, give up something at the perhaps at the back end of the deal to make an extension work.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're talking both Kwan and Bibee are both very confident in themselves. I've seen it. We've seen it in the clubhouse. Kwan keeps meticulous notes about, where his performance is and compares himself to teammates and other players in the league. The information is out there. The comparisons are out there. They're available for you, me, and everybody to go through and look at to see where he ranks statistically. And then there's the component of, just the quality of guy that these guys are. And you want to have guys like Stephen Kwan and Tanner Bibee in your clubhouse. These are core kind of guys that you can build around. You could build a marketing campaign around either one of them. Kwan in particular, as engaging as he is and as likable as he is with with the youth out there in the community. I think these are guys that you can get involved, and their faces should be plastered all over the ballpark. Bibee, we're only going to see him grow and do more. Last year, I think he's a rookie getting his feet under him. In this second year, I'm expecting him to take off in that same direction. These are guys that you want to sort of keep around and lock up and sort of bet on them. But like you said, the way that these extensions work out, most of the time it usually ends up burning the club, and I can see why the Guardians would want to, sort of guard against that. If you look at the extension given to Miles Straw right now, but I gotta believe that, especially with Kwan, that they would be more willing to give up a little bit more on the back end of a deal. Just to ensure that he's around and happy and satisfied with what he's making.
Yeah, it's all about, the element of risk. How much risk is the club willing to take in its offer, and how much risk is the player willing to do in accepting the extension? So you have to have, and you have to have the right front office. You have to have the right agent to talk to. And that's the tough part. That's the negotiation part. Yeah, they're getting burned on the Miles Straw deal, but they're also making hay on the Emmanuel Class A extension. So
Right.
it goes both ways, and the players see that. The players are, they know what everybody else is making, and so they've got to weigh that too. Just how much security do they want? And how much are they in it for the last buck?
Bibee, it might be a little bit early to ask this question, but definitely for Kwan right now. Right now, yes or no, do you think the Guardians get a deal done with Stephen Kwan, before the regular season or sometime, between now and April, and get him locked up and get a deal done to where he's going to be around and, they're going to know what they've got with him for several years to come?
I think they do. I think they get a deal done with this with Steven. I think they've seen what he can do the last 2 years. I think they've got a great read on him as a player. So I think that at least they will make a legitimate offer in an extension for before the season starts.
That would be, I think, a welcome, news for a lot of Guardians fans this season. A big hurdle to get through early in the early part of the year. All right, Hoynesy, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Guardians continue Cactus League play this week as we get ever closer to the start of the regular season. We'll keep you guys updated, and we'll talk to you again on tomorrow's show.